Hi everyone, this is Dr. Deb Zucker, and welcome to our monthly free teleseminar call from October. And tonight's call, the topic is Awakening to Life, the Heart of Health. So with that topic in mind, let's all take a few minutes here and bring that awareness into our own bodies and beings in this moment. So starting off by removing any distractions from your space, any kind of multitasking you might be tempted to do, because we're all so tempted to do that these days, and giving yourself the gift for the next 45 minutes to an hour to allow yourself to focus on what it is to actually awaken to your own life, to actually move from that place as the heart of your health journey, the heart of your life journey. So, noticing in this moment, how is it that you arrive home to yourself? Where is your attention drawn as you come home? Feeling your body, your physicality, aware of your thoughts, the emotional experience you're having right now. Yourself in space, whatever context you're sitting in. And the bigger context in which you're sitting in, this location in the world, this region, country, the planet. And the little speck of the universe that this planet is. Feeling your awareness, taking in that reality of the vastness of consciousness and the connection with this particular body and being that you are in this moment in time, and imagining that you're being born into yourself for the first time right now. It's like your consciousness is entering into this physical being right now, as if it's the first time. And allowing your conscious awareness to curiously notice, what does it feel like to be in an alive physical body? Can you feel that vital life energy pulsing through you right now? The subtle vibration that makes you know that you're alive, vital, feeling your energy, your breath effortlessly, keeping yourself fed with oxygen, the needs of your body, the pulse of your heart. And imagining, tracking with each beat of your heart, that blood that flows through your whole body, bringing the nutrients it needs and taking away what it no longer needs. And the amazing, intricate functioning and complexity of the organ system and each cell. Feedback that's happening on the minutest levels within your body that's keeping you in this moment alive. And allowing your awareness to take in the incredible mystery of that, that you have this consciousness, this ability to witness, to think, to plan, feel, to have so many different kinds of sensations and capacities, and to be in this physical body for this particular lifetime, however long that lifetime has been and will be. Feeling the gift of that, the tremendous gift of being in this mysterious body and place and culture and planet and universe. Feeling that as a meditation in this moment, as if your conscious awareness is just touching that reality for the first time. Breathing that in. Breathing in that miracle to be alive. To wake up and be fully present to that reality. There's nothing to take for granted here. We are living in these bodies, regardless of whatever our faith may be, regardless of whatever beliefs we may have. It's a miracle to be alive in these bodies and to have this opportunity to move through the mystery of life and feel things and relate and experience and have reactions and make meaning and feel what happens when we make different choices, to know how to love, to know how to move and have joy and try new things and experiment and see what happens, all of it. It's an amazing, amazing, mysterious, wondrous gift that each of us has. And so asking yourself, in this moment, without judgment, just as an opportunity to just ask yourself and maybe have an honest recognition of how often are you oriented in this way as you move through life? How often are you connected with the incredible gift and miracle it is to be an expression of life? To be connected with the reality of the mystery, the life shining through you uniquely, moving through you uniquely. So the topic tonight for me is in a sense about shaking us awake to recognize that when we're relating with health, we tend to be asking the wrong questions. We tend to really be distracting ourselves from the heart of the matter, of what's really going on. We tend to live in a huge disconnect in relation to our health that we're largely blind to. It's kind of like there's this chasm that we can't see because we're so immersed in the realities that we're grounded in. And so in this moment, and if you have some paper, you can jot things down or just see what comes up in your mind as I ask these questions. So checking in with yourself in this moment, uncensored, honest. What are the initial images and thoughts that come to you with the word health or when you think of your state of health? What comes to you? So uncensored, just stream of consciousness, with health, state of health, health care. What are the words, images, associations you tend to have with that? So without judgment, just seeing what shows up. There might be a whole range of contradictory things. And now same, just Again, uncensored, honest. I'd like you to think about the list that you have. Some might be conscious or unconscious of all the things that you think you need to be doing in order to be healthy. So jot them down. What's on that list? I need to blank in order to be healthy. I need to keep up at doing blank in order to be healthy. All the things that you are or maybe aren't doing, but think that you ought to be doing in order to take care of yourself and be healthy. So just jotting them down, seeing what comes up. And then to add to that, I'd like you to think about your visits to various different health practitioners. What do they tend to ask you? Or what information do you tend to share with them? What are they focused on? What are you focused on when you visit them? What about popular culture? What do you feel like the messages around health are that we tend to get? Are the scientific studies coming out or the literature and information that we're given? What are they all pointing at? And it certainly is not going to be one thing, but see if you can identify sort of what comes to mind. So again, we're just revealing some of the territory of how we have been relating with health. Without judgment, you know, we're all immersed in particular paradigms, and there's this reality that we often cannot see what we cannot see. So what I mean by that is that when we're immersed in paradigms, when all we know are the lenses that we have been looking through, we're not even aware that we're wearing lenses. So it's like the analogy, you know, you read a book as a kid and then you reread it as an adult and it's an entirely different experience because you've developed and evolved and come into new perspectives and maturity and are able to see the nuance and complexity and context and references in ways that you wouldn't as a kid. And so I'm just pointing at kind of a similar phenomenon. If how we think of health and how we relate with health and how we may compartmentalize it, we might not even be conscious that we're doing it because we're so immersed in the paradigm and the perspectives. And even those of us who have embraced holistic health and feel like we are navigating and supporting our mind, body, spirit, I would argue, and this is from my own experience and my own growth in these ways, as well as the people I work with, because a lot of those folks that I work with are people who are very much on a conscious path and are developing themselves in all sorts of ways. And yet, what I've seen repeatedly is that the territory of health, our relationship with health, kind of gets left behind. So without even realizing it, we still may be rooted in a very conventional way of viewing ourselves, of viewing health that hasn't actually been integrated into the wholeness, into what I was pointing at with the meditation earlier, into that connection with our very essence, our connection with life itself. So I'm just going to talk a bit more about what I see going on with all of this. So in general, most of us are oriented around health in a physicalistic way. Or at least, even if that might not be how we tend to sort of mentally think about it, it often gets boiled down to that when something feels like it's not going right. So even if we're going to holistic practitioners or we're attending to our mind, body, spirit, when we come down to it, we tend to orient in a way in which we're managing ourselves. So it's like our mind is managing our body. We try to get it right. We're trying to do the healthy thing. We've got our checklists. We have ideas of what's right and wrong, and we live with a constant tension around it. Whether we are doing well at caring for ourselves or whether we're not, there's a sense of like, there can be a sense of a hypervigilance, which we might not even be totally conscious of, but a tension there around our own mortality and how we are relating with that. And with that orientation is a relationship with health in a way where it's something outside of ourselves. It's outside of our essence. It's something we need to attend to. I have a blog post. At the moment, I only have a few blog posts up. I plan to start writing more, but this blog post that I was just thinking about is called Falling in Love with Transitions. And in that blog post, I talk about the idea of medicalized awakening. And what I mean by that is I'm pointing to a particular aspect of our health journey, the aspect of what happens as we grow and evolve and we move through transitions. You know, when we're transitioning in life, which can be little transitions and big transitions, but generally when we're alive and engaged with our own evolution, we grow up, we wake up, and we often, as we're transitioning, bump up against lots of different physical symptoms, you know, as well as mental, emotional, anxiety, and depression. We might have, you know, sort of irritable bowel kinds of stuff going on. It's different for everyone, but our feedback of our body is kind of reflecting to us the ways in which our old cells are dying and our new cells are transitioning and might not have found sort of that new ground that we're able to relax into fully. And there's a sense, my sense and theory is that some of the reason why we get lots of symptoms during those times is that it touches into some of our primal fears of our own mortality. So as we're transitioning and we have this sense of groundlessness, as we're growing and changing and life circumstances change, we sort of, our body starts reflecting that ungroundedness, and there's this primal sort of fear and discomfort that comes up. And so what happens, you know, given the cultures we're embedded in and the ways in which we relate with health is, you know, our medical system tends to diagnose and compartmentalize. That's just what it's really good at doing. And what happens is no matter how evolved or holistic our perspectives, you know, we think we might be in terms of our conscious relationship with ourselves, when we're going through these kinds of times, it's so easy to be seduced into reducing what's going on for us to the symptoms we are having. Because it's scary. There's like deep, deep fear that comes up. And more often than not, we let our physical symptoms come front and center. And our emotions, you know, can get compartmentalized and labeled as a problem to fix too. And so this is just an example, you know, this is just one aspect of how we may be relating with our health and how it can show up. But I'm giving this example as a way to show how entrenched our orientation to health is, you know, that it can get separated out like this, that, you know, we can be aware that we're transitioning, we can be aware that, you know, things are shifting in how we're living our lives and we're confused. And yet, you know, once the symptoms start coming on, we can latch onto those and go to the health practitioners and want to resolve those and not even be conscious of the interconnection and the holism of ourselves and how to hold ourselves in our health journey, honoring that and actually celebrating what's happening and being able to relax into it with a trust in our own evolution and a trust in our innate life energy and how our creativity is moving us in life, you know, and holding our health journey with that wholeness. Not to say that we can't seek out support and practitioners. And of course, it's this paradox of wanting to reduce suffering and feel more ease in life. I'm speaking more to how we are holding it all in our conscious awareness and how we are connected in at any given moment with that miracle, with that awakeness to our own life energy. So with all of that, you know, when we're entrenched in our orientation to health like that, and we've looked to what's wrong and what needs to be fixed, so that health gets boiled down to that, let's shift and see what would health look like that could truly embrace our entire evolution, all aspects of our growth and emergence and natural expression that comes from that awakened place of relating with our life. So what if we're able to find the simple essence at the core of it all? If we take ourselves out of spinning in the complexity, out of the need to manage and fix ourselves, and instead shift how we're moving through life to a place of accessing that inner guidance and wisdom of our own innate creative life energy. As if we're monitoring what choices stoke that inner fire in ourselves and what suppress it. So it's more of a place of listening and gently tending rather than a top-down, separate managing. And I don't know if that's a clear distinction in this moment, but I'll keep talking and feel free to ask me questions about that later. But it may be a subtle nuance, but it's a really significant shift of orientation what I'm pointing at. So in other words, you know, what if our journey with health, which is ultimately our journey with life, what if it became about listening from the place of what makes us come more alive? Of noticing moment to moment with each choice, when do we feel like we're thriving? When do we feel like we are in our natural shining? What feels deeply nourishing at the level of feeding our innate life energy? So deeply nourishing, not in the surface, like it feels good in this moment and I know I'm going to feel sick later kind of choice, which, you know, we can have, you know, with foods, we can have it with addictive patterns. There's all sorts of things that I know most of us can relate with, where it's a in-the-moment comfort, but later on we pay for the choice in some way. I'm talking about connecting in with what actually feels deeply nourishing when we're feeding ourselves that, when we're giving ourselves that, when we're choosing to do something. And we can feel it stoking. It's like stoking the fire. We can feel that flame within us that, you know, if that analogy works for you, that sense of the inner fire of our life energy gaining some flame, gaining some life, some movement to it. So noticing too as we're moving through life, what are we doing that disconnects us from that? What are we doing that subdues our natural shine? So in other words, what are we doing that might start to put out that fire or bring the flame down? So what if our journey with health shifted to us actually being servants of our own life energy in these ways? And I'm saying servants from a place of having that awake humility, that place of deference to our own life energy that we're infused with, and seeing at a foundational level that our role, each of us are only responsible for this particular body and being. So in a certain way, each of us are the only one here to serve and tend and stoke our particular inner fire of vitality. And so what if, when we're moving through challenging transitions, our orientation still is rooted in this place. We seek out the support we need in caring for ourselves, certainly, and we're able to honor our wholeness and heed the feedback of how the various aspects of ourselves are reflecting the shifting ground, are reflecting that we're actually in a time of birthing. So of course it's going to be uncomfortable. We have to move through the labor. How can we hold ourselves and tend to ourselves and support ourselves in that time of labor as we're birthing ourselves anew in life? Because we're constantly doing that. There's nothing static about being a creative, alive human being. So some of you who have attended either live or teleseminar classes with me before, I've heard my gardening analogy, but I just want to bring it in here briefly because it ties right in with everything I'm saying and I think can help to ground and make more real what it is I'm pointing at. So imagining right now that you are a gardener in the springtime and you have your own plot of land that it's your responsibility to tend. And you go out there excited to plan what you're gonna plant that year, and you get the soil all ready, you rake off the mulch, you dig in the nutrients, the compost, you weed. You get it all ready to plant, and then you plant those seeds. And you're out there every day. You tend to them. You make sure that they're watered so the ground is moist. You make sure you weed around so that there isn't going to be competition or loss of nutrients. You make sure that there isn't anything blocking the sunlight from reaching those seeds. And with your tending, with making sure that the context in which they're planted is good and they have the nourishment and the water and the sunlight, those seeds, they sprout. And all of a sudden you get to witness the miracle of them pushing out through the earth, opening from that seed pod into the newly emerging baby plant. So just with that analogy I was talking about before of the birthing, that's the painful transition time. From the seed and bursting through the soil and out into the sunlight. And you keep on tending those plants as they grow, adding more nutrients, more compost, fertilizer. You keep watering, but just the right amount, right? It's like if you add too much in the way of nutrients or too much water, the plants aren't going to do very well. And so you're able to watch and monitor what's the right amount. What does it need now? What does it need more of? What does it need less of? If there's predators around, little pests, you tend to those to make sure that they're not harming your plants. And if your plant starts to get some kind of disease, you provide whatever treatment it needs to support it in coming back into its own thriving. And with that tending, those plants, each of them is going to grow into its own unique expression. They're all different. Every single plant's different in terms of how it looks and the flowers that emerge and the fruits that come and its own pattern of leaves and its height and its width and all of it. It's always unique. And it gets to thrive with your tending. It gets to come into its natural expression and grow. And there's really nothing more that you need to do besides nourish and pay attention and watch the feedback of what you're doing. And so in a sense, as a gardener, you are a servant. You are a servant to those plants. And bringing that same analogy back to yourself, what would it be to be the gardener of yourself? To have that same reverence, that same attention, that same capacity to listen and watch for the feedback, to provide the nourishment that you need, to take away things that aren't serving you, to add in more of things that are, that actually would help you to grow and flourish and blossom in ways that your life energy is yearning to. So as you integrate that analogy and everything I've been saying, just to bring this together some more, health is not separate. health is actually our entire lived embodied experience. Health is life expressing through each of us, as us. And our path in life to truly come to know that, to truly integrate that and live from that wholeness, that's an awakening journey for all of us. And in a sense, that awakening journey is the journey of health itself. So awakening to life is the journey of health. And the journey of health is an awakening journey. And so seeing what happens when we actually wake up to the incredible miracle of being alive, of being present to the creative life energy moving through us, feeling it, coming back to that awareness and consciousness. So then health shifts from something that we're trying to seek or grasp or achieve to something that we're actually allowing. Can you feel that distinction of what it is to allow, to nourish, simply by opening up to it? So true health, true healing is actually resolving this disconnect, coming home to ourselves, awakening to ourselves in these ways. It's the integration and wholeness that we all are seeking, whether we're conscious that we're seeking it or not. So this is a lifelong path. This is a journey of awakening. It's a doorway that I'm opening here and inviting us all, me included, to bring this consciousness into our lives, to infuse the way we're making choices moment to moment, day to day, in these mundane existences that we have, and recognizing the miracle in those choices we're making, in the ways in which we relate with ourselves, in how we show up with others, and how we show up in service to a world in need, to the incredible complexity that's facing all of us, the challenges that ripple out from the individual level all the way out to all aspects of life and consciousness and this planet and universe that we're a part of and made of and inhabiting. That really what I'm speaking of in our relationship with health, it's awakening to all of that and integrating that into the mundane, daily, little choices of how we choose to honor our own aliveness, to honor life and the great mystery in which we all are. Consciousness embodied in these beings, physical beings. So with that, I am now going to open up our question and answer queue here. And with that, if you have any questions or want to make any comments, all you need to do is press *6. And I'm happy to dialogue, and you can bring up anything related to what I've spoken to today, anything that you would like some support around in your own health journey. For the next 20 minutes or so, this is my time of being available to you. So take advantage of it in however way you feel drawn. So while I'm waiting to see if anyone wants to share anything, I'm just going to say a few more things. I mentioned one of my blog posts already in the talk today. I see that someone, I'll put a pause on that and I'll come back to that. So I'm going to unmute you and feel free to talk.
Okay, this is Kippy, and I'm kind of new to this this format. So it said if I had a question, press 1, otherwise press 2, but I don't know where what 2 would have done.
Oh. What? I'm new to it telling you that. From my end as a host, all I knew was that you did star 6 and you end up in my queue and then I unmute you.
Oh, okay. Well, I really like everything you've said, and I just wanted to so one thing that I've been kind of thinking about lately is the I feel like I've been having a change of health awareness this season, fall, and it came on really quite abruptly for me. And it really, as did fall. I mean, I know you're in Bellingham, but I think it was probably the same there. It seemed like we had summer, and then right the day of the autumn equinox, the weather went from summer weather to kind of cold and wet weather really abruptly. And I felt like, it felt all of a sudden like my body also went through some changes. And I had a couple people say, oh, it could be the weather. And I didn't pay that much attention to that until I heard it about 3 times, and then I thought, you know, I've always kind of heard that, but I've never paid that much attention to it, nor have I personally experienced it. But I thought, you know, it could be the weather. I mean, the season has changed, the lights changed, the weather has changed, and I felt a big change in my body. And I guess I was just thinking back to how I felt over the summer, and then I was trying to kind of do a mental seasonal, you know, check-in. But I guess I wish you would just kind of comment on health around the natural seasons, because I suspect our body does some natural flowing with the seasonal changes.
Indeed. Yeah, no, it does, and I love that. Sounds like your own awareness of yourself is taking in more of the patterns there. And so there's different, you know, I've in my studies at Bastyr University and beyond, you know, I've encountered different systems and traditions of health, and you know, there's a lot of different lenses to look through in terms of the cycles of our own human selves in relation to the seasons and the natural world. And so I guess first just to say, yes, you know, it's like we are, you know, just to get back to what I was saying before, it's like we are life, an expression of life energy. And so, you know, the distinctions that we make between ourselves and the natural world is a false distinction. You know, we have created a lot of separation at this point in how most of us are living our daily lives. So we don't grow up necessarily having the awareness and consciousness fostered of our connection with nature cycles in the same ways, and yet we're still very much affected by and a part of it all. And so some different, I mean, it might be interesting for you and others, you know, to explore some of the different theories out there that I think can be really nice ways to remind ourselves of the complexity of who we are, that there's influences on all sorts of different levels, some of which we may have already come into conscious contact with and others we may not. So, you know, there's like the Chinese system, particularly the five element aspect of Chinese medicine. Each of the elements, you know, is related to a particular season, and it's part of a cycle. And in that system, each of us as human beings have particular constitutions that are more rooted in one particular element with relationship with the other elements in different ways too, but to come to see some of the patterns in ourselves in terms of why, you know, our bodies might respond in certain ways or why we might have particular emotional temperaments or patterns. And those are all connected in with a natural cycle seasonal perspective. So that's five element theory in Chinese medicine. There's also, had a little introduction to the medicine wheel. So in native traditions throughout the world, there's medicine wheel, or also called wheel of life, or mandala, or circle of life. Like, there's lots of different names for it, but basically viewing the wholeness of life and the patterns that are there, which one layer of those patterns is actually viewing our own evolution, viewing our own stage and our own temperament, our own patterns and balance within ourselves through a seasonal lens. And that's just a little bit. There's many other systems that talk about the seasons. But just to kind of speak, you know, for myself, like, I find it really helpful, and this has been informed by these different studies I've done, but also just from my own experience of watching how I respond seasonally. But one, to recognize, okay, I'm curious, and this is an experiment. Like, what does happen for me as the months change, and does it matter where I am in the world compared, you know, to somewhere else? And just in general, I would say, but it does depend on where you're living in the world, that transitioning from summer to fall is a big transition. You know, summer, the energy of summer is very much sort of an outward, being out in the world, active, energetic, relational, like sort of a more sort of joyful, like playful time. And going into the fall, it's you know, the energy of fall is really an energy of letting go and moving towards the hibernation inward time of winter. And so there's fall itself is kind of a transitional time, and how do we sort of open to the shift of our emotional space, open to our bodies, you know, transitioning with the amount of light and with the temperature, and sort of, you know, from that spirit of being the gardener of ourselves, how do we listen to the feedback and watch what's going on in a way in which we tend to the needs and honor them? You know, our culture is so disconnected often from these cycles that we keep up the same work schedule, we keep up the same social schedule, we have these expectations of all the things we're supposed to be doing, but really as we come into fall and then even more so in winter, like, the natural cycle for us is to slow down and sleep a lot more and rest and kind of honor more of that inward reflective space. So those are just, you know, those are just some initial thoughts, but kind of looking at what, you know, what do you witness that happens energetically in the different seasons, even outside of any sort of circadian rhythm and light influence of what's going on, like just embracing and opening to the energetics of the seasons and how you can see those in yourself can be really, really an opening to greater self-awareness on a lot of levels.
So, am I still?
You are. Yeah, you're still
I'm
live.
Still on.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, that makes sense. I don't know. I personally was so much more aware of it this year than any other year. Because the summer had been so awesome, and then all of a sudden I just felt like my body just like got beat up, and I felt unprepared for it and resistant to it. I guess now it's been, you know, a month, so I'm more kind of accepting of what's going on. But at first, it was kind of resistant to it. But I think what you said, you know, we're used to sort of controlling our own schedule and stay, you know, well, this is what I do,
mm-hmm.
regardless of the season I'm in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, so it is. I mean, it is a shift that is very much along the lines of what I was speaking to tonight. It is a shift of orientation to actually be kind of more humbly listening and watching for the feedback and what the needs are and how things are changing and how you can tend to them from the new place. So really relaxing into sort of that change is going to keep on happening, you know, and anytime we try and rigidly hold something static, it's like then we end up in some suffering of some kind. So, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
I don't want to hog the time.
Well, I appreciate you speaking up. I love talking about that topic. So, yeah. Thanks, Kippy.
Yeah. Let's see if I can think of anything else. That's been the big thing on my mind. If no one else is going to...
No one else has pressed *6 yet, so...
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess the other thing kind of from a... Because I'm kind of a... Because of the way I am, I like the ideas of what you're talking about, but I feel like with the checking in, or where's my note here, what I was writing, just sort of the awareness of bringing the consciousness into our daily lives. How do you personally do that? I mean, do you have like a technique or a method? I mean, I can think of what I would do,
mm-hmm.
but I'm just kind of, you know, kind of the practical side of that.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, you know, it's different for each of us. What I'll say is that, you know, what I'm teaching is something that I've been, you know, consciously exploring with myself for a number of years now. So it's been transitioning how I relate to it and how it shows up for me. These days, like one of the things that really feels different than before, and it's been this way for, I'd say, maybe about 2 years or so now that I've noticed it pretty significantly different, is that I find that my priorities really have shifted. So and it took a number of years for me to come into this place, but that I actually do most of the time in my life, like kind of the first questions or orienting ways in which I make choices is very much from listening and asking the question of, like, you know, what is most loving for myself right now? What do I really need? You know, even with just those two questions as examples, it's sort of like it causes me to pause, feel.
What was the second question?
So what is most loving to myself, or what do I really need? And what I mean by really need is again, not like a superficial kind of need, but pausing to listen in to what, when I get really honest with myself, what really feels like is what I need at that moment. And so simply by asking those questions to myself, or, you know, another question could be, you know, what would really bring me alive right now, or more, and more engaged or present. But those first two questions are probably more often than not kind of what comes up. And it causes me to pause and listen in and assess what's going on from a more whole place. So there's certainly, I guess what I want to say is, like, there's complexity in what we're moving through, and, you know, and sometimes there's responsibilities and commitments that come into the equation that require some nuance to it. So it's not like I'm not speaking from a narcissistic kind of place where we abandon all perspective and relationship and commitments and things that we're doing. So it's a whole way of asking those questions of what would be most loving and nourishing and life-giving for me right now. But what it does do and what I see happening is that it shifts, one, the pace I've been moving through life, and it shifts how I relate with other people and how I create more spaciousness where habitually things would get really crazy. So, you know, I'm coming from a background of being an overachiever. Like, I mean, part of my history is having chronic fatigue, you know, pretty significant times of it and then on and off. And so, you know, it's that sort of pattern of running myself into the ground through sort of a superwoman sort of mentality. So I'm speaking from that place of that's been some of my history. And so what I've found that's really become just really ingrained and just a part of how I'm moving through life now is like, oh, like I actually recognize and live in a way that I see how malleable reality is. And how things that seem like they're a certain way or have to go in this way because that's the trajectory it has been on. Actually, if I pause and listen in to what would be most loving to me, oftentimes a whole new creative solution or path opens up. And it's, again, it's not in a way where I'm denying responsibilities to others or commitments or any way, but sometimes the timeline or the circumstances or things shift around in ways that just create more of a sense of flow. And what I found is that when I create more of a sense of flow and I'm honoring my own truth in these ways, so I'm aligning more fully with how my life energy is wanting to move and express, that it actually ends up feeling like there's more flow for everyone else involved too. Like it just, there's a sense of things clicking in more. So this again is that place of wholeness where we're not separate from anything else. And so when we're really tending to and honoring our own inner wisdom that's coming from how our life energy is wanting to be fed and nourished and express itself, that it actually is connected with all of life and the movement in which we're engaged in ways that we can't see or sense or know. And yeah, so that's my answer in this moment to what you're asking.
That's good.
Yeah, thanks, Kippy. Those were great questions. So we are, do you have anything else to say before I kind of conclude the call?
No.
Okay. I am going to remute you. And yeah, so I guess just to conclude the call, I just have a few things to say. One is that I mentioned earlier one of my blog posts, the Falling in Love with Transitions, and another blog post that I want to mention that actually overall is intimately connected with the content of this call is called Pointing to the Moon. And you can find both of those blog posts if you just go to my website, vitalmedicine.com, and then look at the top menu, you'll see blog up there and click on it. And right now there's only a few posts there, so you shouldn't have any trouble finding them. I also wanted to say that I have begun the Nourishing Your Whole Self 8-week teleseminar course, and I'm going to keep the enrollment open for that. This is the second week of the 8-week course, and so I'm going to keep enrollment of that open until the end of the week. So you can contact me directly at deb@vitalmedicine.com or 360-389-2182 if you want to jump into that. It's a teleseminar format. It's in-depth. This is the fourth time I've taught it, and this time I'm offering it at a special discount of only $39, which is normally $250. So I'm just wanting to provide an opportunity for as many folks as possible to really be able to dive deep in their health journey, regardless of their incomes or accessibility right now, so anyone anywhere can take part. So I'm keeping the enrollment open till the end of the week. Let me know if you want to be a part. And finally, just if you have any questions from this call, you know, regardless of when you're listening to this, Yeah, feel free to contact me directly, deb@vitalmedicine.com, for questions, feedback, or any needs of support. And I think that's it. So thank you all for joining tonight. This is one of my favorite topics, and I look forward to engaging with you all in the future, and wish you a good evening. Thanks.